Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a very disappointing start to the season for the Tennessee Titans. They fall 21-20 at the hands of the New York Giants. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Now, that one hurts yesterday, and you start to look ahead at the schedule. I mean, the Raiders didn't look great yesterday. Derek Carr threw three picks yesterday. I'm trying to keep up with AFC quarterback interceptions yesterday. There was a few of them, but they lose to the Chargers. The Bills obviously coming up this week. The line right now is Bills favored by 9.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook at home on Monday Night Football. So it's one you probably needed to get yesterday if you're the Tennessee Titans, and they were not able to do it. And, Joe, so much of the focus on the text line, on our show today, has been offensively. Defensively, Titans got gashed. 32 carries, 238 yards for the Giants in this game. Saquon Barkley with 164 of those rushing yards. I mean, you look at the Titans defensively. You had the big run that Barkley had, 68 yards in the second half. Between their ability to run the ball in the second half and also Sterling Shepard just getting behind the Titans for that 65-yarder, there were just some plays defensively in the second half that were inexplicable. And for a defense that looked so good and so dominant in the first half, it was just the opposite in the second half. And the run defense confuses me. You know, I don't know what happened on the Shepard deep play. If Christian Fulton thought he had safety help or if he just got caught looking, I don't know what happened on that play, but it was a bad, bad play from the Titans defense there to let Sterling Shepard get behind him. But the concerning part to me was how easily the Giants ran the ball. That is uncharacteristic of a Titans team that finished second against the run last year in the league, and that can't continue to be an issue for this team as they move forward. Otherwise, I mean, you're just not going to give yourself a shot. You got to stop the run, and they couldn't do it in the second half.
Yeah, 261 yards in the second half for the Giants. You know, Max Kellerman, good call on Barkley having a bigger but he should have said Barkley exactly twice as many rushing yards as Derrick Henry on fewer carries.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have had that? That big play, I just feel like that one big run really changed the game. It gave the Giants life, and, of course, they finished. That's the thing. You have the big run, whatever happened to the run, sometimes these things happen. Maybe Zach Cunningham got held on that play. But then you still just let them go ahead and run up the middle on you for the touchdown. And it was just too much of that. Byard said after the game they did some things schematically. It sounds like in the second half an adjustment that he said basically worked well against what we were doing. But, you know, at times I just saw bad angles and guys who need to make plays not making plays. Zach Cunningham's paid here to be a box linebacker. He's not a coverage guy. He's a dominant box linebacker is what he's been. And you pay him to me saying, okay, last year, number two in the NFL in rushing defense. This year, number one. No one's running. They're in third and eight all day. Our pass rush is going to swallow them up, and defense leads the way. And it's exactly how it looked in the first half, and then it just gets broken in the second half. This is the part of yesterday's game that I think has a much better chance of being fixed. But it was still just a bad performance, and just to lose that game because all of a sudden your defense can't stop the run, did not see that coming.
Well, and then defensively, I mean, some of the deployment I thought was pretty interesting yesterday. You brought this up earlier. Caleb Farley had 17 snaps yesterday, 28% of the snaps on defense. Roger McCreary was out there for 59, so almost every play he was out there. Ugo Amadi out there for 38 snaps yesterday. I mean, Farley, he's on the field for a quarter of the snaps defensively. I mean, I was pretty surprised by that in this game, especially with Molden being out.
Right. They preferred Amadi inside to having Farley outside with McCreary inside.
Yeah.
So Ugo gets way more than double the snaps of Farley. Didn't anticipate that either. A lot of interesting substitution patterns. And Vrabel, of course, they have these different packages. Dylan Cole had some snaps in there in the goal line, and he could have made the play. He could have made the play on the Barkley two-point conversion that makes the whole last drive moot, but that's one of those, know where your help is. Very easy to say. Very easy to say from here, hey, man, don't let him go outside. You turn him inside, but, you know, in that moment, Barkley made a sharp move, and then I think Autry got held, and maybe Autry tackles him anyway, but he got in. But you had Cole in there. You had a lot of rotation up front, Strong and Walker and all those guys. You had some different looks with your DBs, too. Again, you did have at times, like you had Farley there, like in the two-minute defense at the end of the first half, but just a lot of different. And then you also had, like, offensive. You got the goal line package where all the receivers, you guys all come off. Other than Cody Hollister, you are the one receiver on the field. I don't know. He got a 22-yard catch, so.
That's fine. Cody Hollister should never be the only receiver on the field. The Titans. I mean,
It's an interesting situation. And I believe that's the drive where, honestly, Tannehill was one of the bright spots, I'd say, yesterday. But if he just flips the ball right away to Derrick Henry, he runs in.
Yeah.
And he took forever, and then by the time he threw it, it was way too late. So it's not like he had a perfect day either. But back to the defense, because I'm all over the place right now. It just ended up being this really bad day, and I never would have seen that coming after the first half.
No, I mean, I found myself after the first half of the game yesterday wondering if the Giants were going to score a point. Like, I was like, I think the Titans might pitch a shutout in this game with the way things were going. I mean, obviously it was 13-0 at that time, but, I mean, the pass rush was looking good. Bud Dupree had gotten a sack. Rashad Weaver had gotten two. Jeffrey Simmons was an absolute beast in the first half yesterday. There was just, I couldn't see how, especially with being trailing in the game, how the Giants were going to get anything going. But that goes back to a little bit offensively in the first half, too. You had some chances to put more points on the board, and you couldn't do it. And New York was still able to run the ball in the second half, and that ended up biting you at the end. But, you know, we talk about complimentary football all the time. It all goes hand in hand. But, you know, if you finish another drive or two in the first half, and this game's probably out of hand heading into the second half. And the Titans couldn't do that.
Right. Let them hang around, not finishing drives. And then those two big plays, what, 263 yards and so much math today. What was Barkley's run, 64?
68.
So 133 of those 263 are on two plays. And I don't really know what happened on the play to Sterling Shepard. Just know that Fulton bit and was 5 yards trailing him, then still had a chance to make the tackle and didn't do that.
Yeah.
And no safeties in sight and just, you know, play like that in this league. Everybody is good enough in this league to beat you if you're going to make plays like that or give up plays like that.
Yeah, and then, you know, Amani Hooker makes what should be, you know, maybe a game-saving play with an interception in the end zone. It's a brutal decision by Daniel Jones, and you're the Titans, and you can't take advantage of that either. I mean, there were so many different chances, I thought, yesterday for the Titans to either win the game or to close the door on the game, and they couldn't do it. And yet at the end of the day, we've talked about all these different things. You still need your field goal kicker to make a kick at the end of the game. Like, that's the part that's going to get lost in some of this discussion this week. Randy Bullock has got to make that kick. He's got to make the kick. If he can't make that kick moving forward, what is he here for? Like, you've got to make that kick if you're Randy Bullock. And, you know, I haven't slowed it down, but I thought the hold was good, looked fine operationally, and he just missed it. And you can't have that happen.
He said afterward it was fine. You're not going to find too many kickers who are going to say, yeah, they screwed it up. But, yeah, he said, no. He quickly dismissed it. It was fine. He just missed it. Looked totally fine. And had he just made that kick, we'd be talking today, well, that defense had a rough second half, but, you know, they'll figure that out. Offense, you got to get Hooper and Woods going. But Tannehill, winning drive. Kyle Phillips, clutch, winning catch. And wow, is this rookie, you know, looking special. Titans win another close game. It's what they do. One kick. Instead, it's a very different discussion because of one kick.
It goes back to missed opportunities. Like, you got to stop losing games to teams you have no business losing games to. I keep coming back to that today. And this is another situation where you've got a Giants team that you're clearly better than, and I thought it was on full display in the first half, and you let them hang around and you let them get back in there. You give them life with a big run to Saquon Barkley, and now you're sitting here today going into a Buffalo game next week where you should be 1-0, and now you're 0-1, and you're staring 0-2 in the face. And maybe, look, maybe Vrabel and the Titans can rise up this week. We've seen them do it time and time again. So I'm not going to discount that possibility. But this kind of feels like a year to me, especially with the passing game and the weapons that I'm just not sure are there. This kind of feels like a year to me where you need to take advantage of your winnable games, because I don't know how much, you know, rising up and beating the elite teams you're going to do this year with the offense that you have. Like, it's going to require on Monday, if they're going to beat Buffalo, you're going to have to get a superhuman performance from Derrick Henry, because I just don't think they have the weapons to catch, catching the pass right now to do that. Like, Derrick Henry's going to have to be an absolute beast on Monday for them to win this game.
Yeah. And, yeah, you need, like, a strip sack and scoop and score, or you need to find about three more plays like you did for Traylon Burks, and all of a sudden he has his, you know, his coming out party. I mean, there's different ways you can do it, but it's over the long haul. This isn't a playoff team if Derrick Henry isn't pretty close to what he's been. They're built that he has to be, because one of the ways that they've risen up and beaten some of these teams, and one of the ways they've won a ton of games, is because they had a stud receiver who could take over games. They do not have that anymore. They traded him.
Milo on the text line says, not the kicker's fault at all. Never should have been in that position. That's fine. You can't say it's not his fault
at all. He's an NFL kicker. You need to make a 47-yard field goal.
Yeah, the fact that it's not his fault at all is ludicrous. It's a 47-yard kick. NFL kicker needs to make the kick.
I agree that the Titans should have come out when he goes out of bounds, run a play, not needed to use the timeout, got a few more yards, made it easier for him. I agree. But make a 47-yard kick.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Open up the phone line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Don't miss the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5, 106.3 The Game every Monday night at 6 o'clock, live from 6th and Peabody. The Eddie George Show is brought to you by Low T Centers. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on the Titans. And speaking of that, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Crazy Billy. Thanks for calling in.
Do we actually have linebackers that work on that team? I didn't see very much of that yesterday. You know, it was so sad that I got to cheering for the Giants. And I'm a 20-year season ticket holder. I was cheering for the Giants, because the second half was trash. They just let down. They thought they had those guys in the bag. And guess what? They got their butts handed to them. And by the way, our kicker, he would be gone today. I don't care who I'd bring back or find out there, but he'd be gone. Hey, I'll listen and get off the show. Thank you, guys. You're doing a great job. God bless. Go Titans.
Thanks, Billy. Appreciate you.
Or go Giants.
Or go Giants.
Cheering for the Giants. That's a quick flip. You flip allegiances and fire the kicker immediately. This is the kind of overreaction I'm looking for on a Monday morning.
Well, I mean, look, I understand the frustration. I mean, that's a brutal game to lose yesterday. It just is. It's a brutal game to lose. And now, you know, we'll see how they respond to it. But that's an inexcusable loss for the Titans yesterday. Andrew on the text line. Go ahead.
Real quick, on the linebacker question, look, I mean, that's one of the, like, the overall running and just some of the plays that, again, like, Zach Cunningham is paid really well to make sure this team stops the run. I know it's not all on him. It's a team game. But ultimately, in a lot of situations, he's the one freed up to make plays in there. He's got to be better. Not just him, but he's paid because the idea is this is going to be a dominant run defense. This is going to be a team that's able to pin its ears back and get after the passer because teams can't run on this team.
Andrew on the text line says, guys, stop it. This is exactly what's wrong with us. The Bills' secondary sucks, and their strength is their front seven. We need to win through the air. This is not 1952. Stop with the let the big dog eat nonsense. This is from Andrew on the text line.
Fire Derrick Henry. Fire the kicker. Fire Derrick Henry, too. Just throw it to Dontrell Hilliard all day.
Well, my response to Andrew was, who exactly do you think the Titans have at wide receiver right now that instills fear in anybody in Buffalo?
I mean, look, you got to have balance. And I will say, Andrew, I'm for, like, not just predictably running him into the line every first down like they did yesterday. But you have to have balance. You're built to run the football. And, yes, the Bills have a great collection of talent on defense, some great players up front. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the Titans' offensive line to be effective run blocking or pass blocking against them. But you have to run the football to win this game. And Derrick Henry has done damage against a lot of those very talented Bills players in the past, has he not?
I would say so.
I mean, did he not change the game yesterday by running through all of them? I believe he did.
Last year, not yesterday, but yes.
Did I just say yesterday?
You did.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to mute myself.
Okay, thank you very much. Right. Dennis on the text line says, so far we need to get rid of Vrabel, Downing, Henry, the linebackers, and Bullocks. And Bullock, problem solved. That's from Dennis. Keeping tabs of the phone line today.
I think Dennis is way too chill about this loss.
Yes.
But listen, now they're keeping
Tannehill. Let's overreact a little bit, buddy.
They wanted to get rid of Tannehill months ago, but now they love him. They want to get rid of everybody else.
Everybody but Ryan.
Well, it is kind of amazing. Yes. I thought about this. If you would have told me heading into the weekend the Titans were going to lose the Giants, and we have barely talked about the quarterback today.
Right. Like, Ryan Tannehill was a bright spot, and the Titans lost to the Giants. Huh? I mean, again, he wasn't perfect. You got to just flip it to Henry. That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Someone told me he missed Woods deep. I missed it yesterday. You know, that wouldn't be the first time I didn't see something right in front of my face. But for the most part, I mean, Ryan Tannehill should have been talking after the game about that stirring drive when everything fell apart, but he brought him back, and it was that rookie receiver who he hit with a dime. That was a dime. It was the best pass
of
the day.
Great play. Yeah.
Was that pass to Phillips to loop it over the top like he did. But no. Fire everybody but Tannehill.
Matt from D.C. on the text line says, let Tim Kelly call the plays moving forward. Look, they're not going to do that, at least now to start with. But, I mean, this is a big stretch for this offense here. Number one, can guys like Woods – and we've had a couple people on the text line in the last few minutes texting me, like, who is Austin Hooper? Does he exist? I mean, it was a no-show yesterday.
Stunned.
And I don't know.
Stunned by that.
One catch for 6 yards from Austin Hooper. We talked about – you know, what an upgrade the Titans feel like they have, at tight end heading into the year. Jeff Swain being your leading receiver at tight end with 3 catches for 19 yards should not happen. Like, you got to throw the ball to Austin Hooper a little bit more. And if he's not getting open, that's a problem for the Titans as they move forward.
It didn't look like he was to me. I mean, I did watch him, you know, decent, especially as the game got the second half. I'm like, where is Austin Hooper? And he didn't look very open to me. There were a couple times where Tannehill had gone through progressions and gone to the other side of the field. He could have had him. And there was one play where Hooper looked pretty frustrated. But, you've got to get more from him. One thing that's really – you think about yesterday and the aggressiveness that the Giants played with, because Wink Martindale does that. Titans knew it, and he brought it. And I'd really like to see the numbers on that. I think they brought 5 a lot. But, you know, think about teams that don't have to do that. Some of the Texans pointed out they had 6 sacks of staff, or the Bills did, with no blitzing.
Yeah.
The Bills are going to drop. So if you're a team that now can drop more coverage against these receivers, I mean, like, Todd Downing's got a big task ahead of him. But, look, I think it's totally fair for people to be frustrated and asking the question about Todd Downing and – the direction of this offense since he took over. There's a lot of different pieces to the puzzle. Protection last year, Downing. Now you don't have A.J. Brown. There's a lot of ways it's gotten worse. But after yesterday, I think it's totally fair.
You ready for another next-gen stats
yes.
revelation by John Glennon of SI.com?
Oh. Is he off PFF? Is he a next-gen guy?
There's no PFF
You're
so
cheating
far.
On PFF, Johnny.
From Glennon. This from next-gen stats, according to John Glennon. Treylon Burks averaged 11 yards after the catch on his three receptions. Tops in the NFL. He averaged 4.9 yards of separation on his five targets, second only to Deebo Samuel, who had five.
Interesting. Also, really small sample
Very
size.
Very small samples.
But still, I thought he looked fast. I thought he looked powerful. You could see where he's just going to be a problem if you give him the ball in the open field. And that's where, again, if you want to be optimistic, which is, like, it's allowed after a loss like this. Phillips, yes. But also Burks, it's a different deal. He was on the field way less than Woods and Westbrook-Ikhine. I think he was on 37% of the snaps, which we've talked about that. He's probably going to be about 40%, right? Like A.J. Brown was early in his career or early in his rookie year. I mean, right now I'd be thinking about how to increase that and get him the ball more often. And, hey, if you got to go to the rookies, go to the rookies.
Yeah. I mean, it's Kyle Phillips. I thought, you know, there were some mistakes, obviously. You can't drop the punt. Now, luckily, the Titans bailed him out there, and Amani Hooker made the play in the end zone. But I think overall, a pretty encouraging day for the rookie wide receivers. Can you get more as you move forward here? David in Arkansas on the text line says, 18 seconds. 18 seconds is enough to throw a pass 10 yards in the middle of the field and still clock the ball. Get the ball closer. Bullock has proven he can't hit game-winning field goals from long distance, i.e. the Jets game last year, too. This is from David in Arkansas on the text line.
He has hit those. I have to go back and look at the three game winners last year. I think one of them was longer. But, yeah, the Jets lot. This is the second one after the Jets game in which he missed a clutch field goal. And, man, you don't want many of those. And I agree. They want it on the right hash, but, you know, don't call a timeout after you go out of bounds. Save the timeout.
Yeah.
And try to make it easier. 41 yards. 39 yards, it makes a difference.
Gator Tim on the text line says, not a Titans fan, but Jerome Boger's crew is awful. Two phantom holding calls on Brewer cost Henry 30 yards, two big first downs, and a first and goal at the three. This from Gator Tim on the text line. I don't know about two. I think for sure one was a little iffy.
One was like he kind of got his hand up there, but he pulled it off. You look at that being called, and you look at Denico Autry being tackled on the two-point conversion not being called, and these things happen. However, let's all acknowledge that Jerome Boger's crew is very bad.
Terrible. No question about it. Fred from Ashland City says, I can't decide if I should blame the offense or the defense more. The offense struggled to move the ball, but the defense also gave up two or three huge runs right up the middle, and Fulton was so busy watching the quarterback, he gave up a free touchdown. That's from Fred from Ashland City. That's the thing. I'd really like to know, was there a disconnect there in coverage with Christian Fulton, or did he just get lost watching the quarterback? Because if it's the latter, you can't do that, man. Like, that can't happen.
Well, especially if the safety situation of that play is what it was supposed to be, you definitely can't do that. That's a thing that, you know, like, was something else supposed to happen there in terms of, you know, backline help? I don't know, but that was a bad play. And then you still have a chance to make the tackle and don't make it.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to, 615-737-1025. More of that coming up next. We'll also get to a big win for Tennessee over the weekend as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Tough one for the Titans yesterday. They fall 21-20. I was, I guess, not surprised when he got to the end of the game and Daboll was going for two. But, man, the Titans, you go back and look at that play, it looks like Danico Autry was getting held, and Chance Campbell had a chance there. Dylan Cole had a chance there to make the play. Did not make it, and all of a sudden that drive was necessary for the Titans and missed the kick.
Yes.
Heck of a call. Go for two.
New York Post headline, Day Bowls of Steel.
Yeah.
So
it's like Tyreek Hill's comment.
What was that?
Catch me up.
On his coach, they need a wheelbarrow to carry him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Speaking of that, I mean, there's a lot we haven't gotten to, but Tua looked okay. And see, so
I feel pretty good about my Patriots are probably going to suck this year, Pete.
Yeah, the Patriots' offense is trash in the preseason. Plays right out for you in the regular season. See, it's not all lies and overreacting in week one. I think that one's gonna stick. And man, what is Bill Belichick doing?
I don't know.
By the way, the Bucks, the other guy in the Brady Belichick, he looked all right last night. And we've been talking about AJ Brown, but another guy who looked okay is Julio Jones. Looked all right.
Julio Jones did look pretty good last night.
Looked pretty good, and you know he had big play, but barely missed out on like a 50-yarder in the second half, yeah. Too. Or he and A.J. Brown are combining for about 300 yards yesterday. So that's got to be nice for Titans fans.
Well, I was watching the play live last night where he caught the 48-yarder down the field, and I was just like, where was that? Where was that all of last year? But look, man, he got through training camp completely healthy. He's healthy so far. He looked pretty good last night.
I'll tell you this. One game, but Julio Jones, when he was available last year, is still a more viable threat than anything the Titans had on the field yesterday.
I would agree.
Now, Burks, I like the upside there, and they got to keep
giving ball.
They got to keep developing that. And I mean, look, Kyle Phillips, a couple mistakes, but very promising. But boy, they just looked so not explosive. And what about teams that actually have legit pass rushers who don't have to blitz? What then?
It's going to be a great question. I got people getting all over me about my Packers on the text line. We'll get to that coming up in the next segment with our look around the NFL as well. But, Joe, I do want to start on the Tennessee Volunteers. Giant win for Tennessee over the weekend at Pitt. It was not a pretty win, and at times offensively, especially in the second half, it was ugly out there for Tennessee, but they get it done 34-27 in overtime, the final score. Cedric Tillman, 9 catches, 162 yards, and a touchdown. But, Joe, the story of the game for Tennessee was their defense, how they rose to the occasion, the pass rush. ESPN put up a sign or like a little graphic, and it said that they had over 25 pressures of the quarterback, which I think was like a program record in the last 20 years for Tennessee. So, shout out to ESPN for that graphic. But they were all over the quarterbacks in that game. And, you know, knocking Slovis out of the game, I will say, with the way that Tennessee's offense was sputtering in the second half, had Slovis remained healthy, Pittsburgh might have won that game. But they didn't. Tennessee gets the win on the road. That's the first time they've gotten a true road win against a non-conference opponent. It ranked in the top 20 since 2003, going back to Miami. So a long time coming for Tennessee. They should enjoy this.
Yes. Josh Heupel, of course, got a top 20 win at Kentucky last year, which means he's the – yeah, that's right. I just wanted to make sure Michelle's paying attention, which makes him the only Tennessee coach since the AP poll came out in 1936 to do that in his first 2 years. It was a very frustrating day, I think, just offensively, special teams, mistakes, letting Pittsburgh hang around after you knock Keaton Slovis from the game. But in the end, Hooker to Tillman, I mean, by the end of this season – that pass-catch combo, oh, man, is that going to just have some tremendous numbers? But also, I just thought this was a really encouraging win because the defense really won this game for you. Going down all the way to the end on the ultimate days of highs and lows, poor Trey Flowers is going to sit there and have to watch that highlight of Gavin Bartholomew leap over him like a million times. By the way, remember when I asked Narduzzi about Bartholomew?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But then he muffs a punt. He also has the pick in the end zone, and then he has the blitz and the sack that basically ends the game in overtime. The defense made a bunch of big plays, and they got some new guys who I think could make them better. Starting with Aaron Beasley at linebacker. He was all over the field.
Hendon Hooker went 27 of 42 for 325, two touchdowns.
On an off day.
I didn't think he was very good. You know, and you say that, then you look at the numbers, you're like, oh, okay. It's a pretty good day from Hendon Hooker. But there were some throws that he definitely missed out there earlier in the game. The first like two, three drives for Tennessee were awful in that game. It took them a while to get settled in. Then they finally did. Second half, they didn't get much going offensively, but on an off day for Hendon Hooker, 27 of 42, 325, two touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah.
You'll take it.
Yeah. And some big runs. Still don't love how much he gets hit, but they needed some of that.
There was a really interesting development in that game, though, and I don't know if this is a one-game thing, and it changed after the fumble. But Jalen Wright was the lead back in that game for the first half for a lot of it. He was the lead guy. And then he fumbled the ball, and you saw a little bit more of Jabari Small. And Jabari Small obviously had the two touchdowns in short yarded situations, but Small got nothing going. 10 carries for 17 yards, two touchdowns. It was interesting that Wright was kind of the lead back in that game to start with. He's got a hole on the ball. It's 2 weeks in a row that he's fumbled the football, but I thought that was interesting.
It was. Jalen Wright was the better back, flat out.
Yeah.
Now, we talked going in the game about Pittsburgh's defense and tailback running game, and it's very hard to get it going. And I think in this matchup, Jalen Wright's physicality made him the better choice. So I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it, but he was definitely better. There's no doubt. Small needs a bounce back. I still feel like Jabari Small is the number one back, and I feel like he's going to have a big year. Pittsburgh has dudes up front. So it wasn't a perfect day from the O-line either, but actually I think that's one of the better front sevens that they will see this year. Not saying it's as good as Georgia or Alabama, but after those two, and you can make the case, this is the third best front seven they're going to see this year, and especially when you take into account just how aggressive Pittsburgh is.
For a guy that's not normally that fired up, at least publicly, Josh Heupel pretty fired up after this game. You could tell when that game ended, and you know, he did the quick interview with ABC after, but really in his post game as well, you could tell what that win meant to him and this program. It's been, you know, getting wins against top 25 opponents on the road has been rough for this Tennessee group over the last two decades. Josh Heupel was deservedly very fired up after this game.
He was. And I was in the end zone, like, just trying to, you know, see if I can see anything as they were, like, singing Rocky Top with the fans. And I heard right behind me, "Let's go!" And it was him, like, I turned around and he was, like, shoving Mike Eckler. And for anybody who doesn't know who Mike Eckler is, he's their absolutely loose cannon special teams guy, you know, huge, like, I mean, there's, like, legendary stories. And he kept, like, shoving him and stuff, like, wow, Josh Heupel, look at this. He's because, man, he does not show a lot. He does not show a lot of emotion unless he's screaming at refs. But, yeah, you could tell this one meant a ton. And, look, Eckler, I mean, this week is a big go back to the drawing board week for Eckler with the special teams performance they had, right? I mean, you don't block a guy. You got three personal protectors, and you just don't block the outside rusher. Like, what? I mean, they, you know, massive mistakes. But when you can win a big game like that and then have the teaching moments, you know what coaches say. That's their favorite.
Chris from Atlanta on the text line says, "One thing that stood out to me about the Vols is even with all the mistakes, they never panicked."
Agree.
Heupel was – he brought that up several times in terms of the program that he took over to where it is now last year. There's no way they're winning that game.
Yeah. No, and I think he made good points. There's a certain – and it comes down to, you know, everybody talks about culture. Culture, culture, culture. And I know it's important.
It is.
Work environment, what I like to call it. But it comes down to having some veteran players. And, like, Flowers is a great example. That guy had every reason to, struggle to bounce back, but he kept playing. And I just think Hooker and Tillman, they both had their rough moments, especially Tillman. Again, like, how do you drop that one TD? Like, that's a gimme. But he comes out and just makes the play. But, yeah, they have a maturity about them. And that's going to be very interesting to see if they can carry that into tougher games ahead. I don't know if Florida's going to be a tougher game than at Pittsburgh. But they still have some very good players, and their quarterback's still very dangerous.
Ron on the text line says, "If Alabama continues to play like that, Tennessee might have a chance to beat them." Actually, I think they can.
Oh, let's get it going. Let's get excited, everybody. Hey.
Here we go.
I'm interested in Alabama at Tennessee based on what I saw Saturday.
We saw a lot on Saturday. We saw a lot on Sunday as well. It was a pretty wild weekend in football. We'll get some of our takeaways from that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, a wild weekend of football, both in the college ranks and in the NFL as well. We'll start on the college front. A few games I want to get your reaction to. Alabama escapes in Austin, a 20-19 win. Great play by Bryce Young on the final drive to lead him down the field there to escape pressure. And Alabama wins it 20-19. They got some problems offensively that they're going to have to get figured out, but Bryce Young, pretty big drive there.
Well, you had two Heisman candidates. You had Will Anderson just blowing through Bijan Robinson, getting the sack. And then you have Bryce Young avoiding the corner blitz sack and making the play of the game. So, players, not plays. But Texas, I think, is legit. Like, they've...
Well, Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt in that game. They may win.
They might. That's too bad for him. But they've got guys on D, so I think Alabama's probably going to be fine. But, yeah, you can't just constantly rotate skill guys and expect to have first-round pick after first-round pick. You know, at some point, you do have some rebuilding years and down years. It might be a little bit of that with that offense going downfield.
Two upsets in the top 10. Notre Dame falls to Marshall, 26-21 at home. And Texas A&M goes down 17-14 against App State. A&M's offense the first week looked pretty awful in the first half of that game. And then they eventually got going after a weather delay. Looked pretty awful again this week. They got some problems with that offense at Texas A&M.
It's just incredible. You know, the Notre Dame thing is, yeah, overrated habitually. And Marcus Freeman needs a win at some point.
He's 0-3.
But Jimbo, I can't. When's his presser? I'm tuning in. He deserves all the smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Give him all the smoke. And I know it's App State and it's awesome. Boone, North Carolina going nuts. Saw some pictures from that. Like, geez, take it easy. Don't flip over all the cars. But actually, it was over in your little Catterday land there.
Yeah, what is with the car flipping?
Yeah, flipping somebody's car. What's wrong with these kids?
No, they send notices and they put them on the door so everybody knows to, you know, park your car somewhere else.
Oh, so just flip the car?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. Freaking cats
maybe
fans.
Just don't
usually
flip the
local usually the local car dealership will give the kid a new car.
Usually that's like a $15 ticket, not getting it flipped and destroyed.
Interesting but, stuff.
Yeah, but Jimbo, oh, I mean, I can't wait to hear what he has for this. Yeah. That's bad. The money, the recruiting, all the talk, they're going to go into Alabama because Alabama will have it figured out by then, which kind of goes back to our discussion with Tennessee, Alabama. Tennessee would love to play him now. Might not be so great when they do play him. Alabama's going to just bludgeon the Aggies. Their offense is bad.
It's pretty darn bad. I don't think there's any question about it. Kentucky takes down Florida over the weekend, as we just mentioned. Car flipping and all. Big win for the Wildcats. I said this going into the game last week, and it kind of played out that way. Florida, to me, was maybe the classic case of let's overreact a little bit too much. Week one, they did not look great offensively in that game. Kentucky looked really good defensively. I thought Will Levis was okay in the game, but that ended up being good enough. And they win 26-16 on the road. Their third victory against Florida in the last 5 years. That rivalry's turning a little bit down there.
And what was it, 33 in a row?
Yeah.
Right?
Also, too, Mark Stoops just passed Bear Bryant for most wins ever as a Kentucky head coach.
He did.
That's a pretty cool win to get the record. As much as I want to troll Michelle, especially yesterday, you're like reveling in the Bears.
Monsoon. Because it pisses you off.
It's just, come on. But I got to say, in all seriousness, that is a program identity win. Granted, Anthony Richardson helped it a lot with those picks. Just those two, without those disastrous plays, I don't know where this game ends up. But running the ball, playing defense, they've got that DNA. You got to be impressed with, I mean, again, over and over and over again, what Stoops did. Kyle Tucker was tweeting this stuff out the other day. Like, remember, a few years ago, this was the worst team in the SEC, the worst program. Before he got Vanderbilt was destroying them, like on the regular.
Two
Missouri
wins.
Yep. Was destroying them. Kentucky was just as they were in the same boat. Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Missouri, get them all out of here. What he's done is actually pretty astounding.
Let's go rapid fire around the NFL. The Chiefs yesterday, 44-21 against the Cardinals. Patrick Mahomes looked pretty good without Tyreek Hill. 30 of 39, 360, and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. One game, and I do think the Cardinals are bad defensively, but that was a pretty promising. It's interesting because it was a promising. It's like a promising divorce on both sides right now because Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins look pretty good too, but the Chiefs look pretty scary. Patrick Mahomes still can play even without Tyreek Hill.
In a battle that I was very much looking forward to, that I'm not sure anybody else around the league actually was. Jameis Winston and the Saints, they get it done in the end, 27-26, the final score. Marcus had them right where they wanted them. Went 20-33, 215. Also had 72 yards rushing. Critical fumble, though, and the Falcons lose.
Well, it was so close to being a blowout. He fumbled inside the 5 where they're about to go in. It's a blowout.
Yeah.
It's a blowout. And that gave him life, and then there was another fumble late. I mean, it's too bad because, actually, he was really good. And for most of the day, he was way better than Jameis Winston, which has been a thing. Like, whenever he plays Jameis Winston, he actually usually outplays him.
Jameis was pretty darn good in the fourth quarter.
But then all of a sudden, he gets it going. And what a crusher for Art Smith and, and that fan base looking like they had a big win over a rival.
Aaron Rodgers and the Packers get destroyed yesterday, 23-7 on the road at Minnesota.
I don't feel like we've talked enough about this game.
Justin Jefferson, 9 catches, 184 yards, 2 touchdowns. Captain Kirk looked pretty good. I will say this. It turns out, Joe, that not having anybody on your roster at the moment who's probably better than a number 3, number 4 wide receiver may be a problem for the Packers.
Even if you're Aaron Rodgers.
Now, having said that, he did hit a wide receiver right in the hands to begin the game that would have been a 75-yard touchdown, and it was dropped.
Yeah. Christian Watson, man. But, of course, the Packers got beat 1,000-3 by the Saints in week one last year. I think they're going to be okay. But somebody's got to emerge downfield, right? I
mean, somebody's going to have to emerge.
I mean, Devontae Adams, who looked really good for the Raiders, but they didn't win.
They did not. Chargers win 24-19 yesterday. A little bit more of a lower-scoring defensive game than I thought. But good defensive performance by the Chargers. They get a big win at home. So the Chargers and Chiefs off to a good start in the AFC West. The Broncos playing tonight on Monday Night Football, which, other than Russell Wilson playing against his old team, this one's probably going to be hard to watch tonight.
Well, I'm not going to beat Brennan in fantasy, which would be devastating if Russ doesn't go off tonight. So it's time to be Russ-diculous. We haven't talked enough about fantasy teams today.
We have not.
Tomorrow, I think we should spend a couple hours on that.
I won.
No question about it. Just keep going. Steelers and Bengals, maybe the game of the day.
God.
Steelers win 23-20 in a game where Joe Burrow had 4 picks, 1 fumble, turned the ball over 5 times, and still threw a touchdown pass at the end of the game that should have been the game winner. And then they get the extra point blocked. Big win for
then
the Steelers.
Terrible miss. Overtime winner for the
horrible
Bengals.
Horrible snap. Like, it was a crazy game. It's a big win for the Steelers. Now, it looks like T.J. Watt has torn his pec, so that's probably not good for them moving forward. But defensively, they played really well, obviously. We'll see what that means. Like, Mitch Trubisky, I thought, was Mitch Trubisky. So I don't know how that's going to serve them as they move forward here. But really good defensive performance. Kind of amazing that the Bengals turned the ball over 5 times and they still had a chance to win.
I'm sure Junie's got his hotel room for the Super Bowl after that win.
He already tweeted at you about the tweets last week.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, enjoy it now, Junie, especially if T.J. Watt. That would be awful if T.J. Watt's lost for the year.
It would be tough. But we'll see what happens on that front. By the way, Dak Prescott looks like he's going to be out maybe 6 to 8 weeks with a broken thumb as well. So some injuries already starting to creep in there. In week one.
Will Mike McCarthy be his coach when he returns?
It's a good chance he may not. We'll see what happens on that front. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase Winley and D-Mace coming up next. They'll examine the Titans in close games under Mike Vrabel, so stay tuned for that. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.